Thank you, Ryan. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Rich Lankoff, half of Legal Face Off, but you have a new half now.
We do. We do. We can no longer deride Jason Whiteside, my former co-host.
Oh, you'll still find a way to do that.
We do. We do. Good guy.
But he's been replaced.
He has been replaced. The new co-host of WGN's very own Legal Face Off is Christina Martini, who's a very prominent attorney with the DLA Piper Law Firm. She has been on the show for a long time as a guest. Mm-hmm. She co-authors a column called Inside Out in Chicago Lawyer Magazine with David Sussler, who happens to be her husband, who's general counsel of a company. So they've been very familiar with the show. They've been great guests, and now she is my co-host, so she's done a great job. We just taped the second show with her a few minutes ago.
Now, I hope this is okay to discuss on the air, but you just had a fascinating guest on. We're about to talk about O.J. Simpson. You had F. Lee Bailey on. Now, I just read the other day an interesting story about F. Lee Bailey that kind of hints at the fact that Mr. Bailey has seen better days, that he's borderline destitute. Is that possible, F. Lee Bailey?
Yeah, he declared bankruptcy. Today, we asked him, actually Sam Panianovich, our host, asked him how the O.J. Simpson criminal trial affected his career, which was a great question. And he touched on his current situation. He said, very frankly, he said very negatively, it's had a very difficult impact on his career. You know, he was sanctioned a few years after the O.J. Simpson case. He said he was basically treated as a pariah in the legal community. You know, he's had people, as you can imagine, over the years come up to him and say that he got a murderer off. So it's had a really negative impact on his career, which he admitted today during our interview, for sure.
But that happens from time to time. As you know, that's part of the job of being a lawyer. So F. Lee Bailey, who is one of the most prominent high-profile lawyers in the land, all of a sudden finds himself unable to find work after this?
Yeah, tough. You know, from
the curse of O.J.
The curse of O.J.
Exactly. It continues. But yeah, I mean, he was, as you mentioned, before the O.J. I mean, most people know him from O.J., but as you know, he had a long career representing very high-profile people before O.J. Simpson. Had a very lucrative career and has now, as you mentioned, fallen on hard times. You know, for many people, they think that is karma, that he had a lead role in getting what most people consider a murderer off.
Yeah.
And now he's fallen on hard times. He was a great interview today, though. He, you know, we asked him, obviously, about his feelings about the OJ parole yesterday. Also asked him how he felt about the media coverage in the wake of the ESPN documentary, mm-hmm. of the FX series, how he felt about Nathan Lane's portrayal of him in The People versus O.J. Simpson. And he was very forthcoming about some, you know, really insightful stuff.
Look that up, WGNplus.com, Legal Face Off. That's going to be a goodie. Speaking of O.J.'s parole yesterday, I watched the whole thing even knowing the outcome. I used to love O.J. I really did, and I had to see him, and he did not act the way I expected him to act, although I guess he was just being himself. There were some times where he would like crack jokes and say little quips that I didn't find appropriate for what was going on.
For sure. You know, he was O.J. being O.J. I think those of us that watched it yesterday, and you know, millions of people did, found it interesting and a little dismaying the manner in which he testified. Remember, he did not testify in the criminal case that he has served 9 years for. So this was the first time that anyone has really heard his version of the events that led him to jail in Nevada. So to
why
your point,
why didn't he testify, though? Here's my question, because what he said yesterday was, you know, what we heard is that he busted into this hotel room to get his merchandise back, to retrieve it, he kept saying, his property, and he wasn't armed. There was a guy that he kind of said, okay, you can do security for me. He was armed. Why didn't he speak at that trial?
Same reason why he didn't testify at the, you know, murder trial. Most criminal defendants, as we talked about in Cosby, in the Cosby case, they don't testify on their own behalf. The feeling generally is that you can only do more harm to your case by testifying than good. I agree with you that listening to him yesterday, he certainly told a compelling case. I mean, listen, O.J. is a former Heisman Trophy winner, a former professional football player, a very well-paid commercial spokesman, an actor. He's very compelling, right? The way he talks is very, you want to believe him. Even though most of us feel he's a murderer, the way he testified yesterday, I think, was very convincing. I agree with you. Now, listen, he wasn't under cross-examination. If he did testify, I'm sure the prosecutors would have had a field day with him. And that's why, generally, you don't testify if you're a criminal defendant. You don't have to, right? You don't have to testify according to the Constitution against yourself. And that's why most of them don't.
You don't have to, but if I was brought up on some charges, I would say to my attorney, please put me on the stand. I want people to know I'm not guilty of this.
But then people, like the prosecutors, could make you look bad. Isn't that the because I offer, you know me, I offer way too much information. I would incriminate myself even if I wasn't guilty because I would panic.
Sure. And remember, I mean, you know, O.J. Simpson went away for 9 years for this kidnapping and gun charge. But really, it was for the, it was payback. So, you know, from his attorney,
he knows that, too.
He knows that. So it would have opened up the whole can of worms, even if they, you know, strictly limited the questions that O.J. would have faced to not include the Nicole Simpson and Goldman murders. It would have come up, right? And it would have influenced the proceeding. So do I wish he testified? Yes. I agree with you, Bill, that if I was in his seat, I would be yelling to the rafters that I should testify and declare my innocence. But we see it all the time. We see, you know, again, Bill Cosby didn't testify, and OJ did not testify as well.
But doesn't that make the jury think you're guilty?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're told, of course, that that should not be a factor. But we see it time and time again that despite the fact that you would think that a jury would take one silence as incriminating, they don't. I mean, you can look no further than the criminal case, the murder case. He did not testify. The jury, you think, would have looked at that as a sign of guilt. But as we saw in the documentary, most of them didn't care. A lot of them said flat out in this documentary that it was just payback for the Rodney King situation.
Right.
Which, you know, so predicting what jurors do and why they do things is a little tough.
Wendy and I discussed this a little at the beginning of the show, but OJ's attorney, Mr. Laverne, hello, Laverne, he came out at the end and he said, in the past, you wouldn't want to be an elected judge being the one to let O.J. Simpson out of jail because you're up for re-election and people are going to know you as the guy that put O.J. Simpson back on the street. But this time around, that was not the case because the arbitrator of this decision is not an elected official.
Yeah, it was a four-person parole board that, you know, by a 4-0 decision decided to parole him. I mean, I think the consensus legally and just, you know, based on common sense, is that this justice was served. As hard as that is to say to people who think that OJ got away with murder,
justice was served for this event.
I mean, you know, giving him a sentence of 9 years to 33 years for, you know, what was a bungled robbery, you know, by all accounts, it was way too high of a sentence. For him to serve 9 years was, you know,
without complaining. You never really heard from him other than he couldn't watch that the People versus O.J. Simpson because they wouldn't pay for cable.
Right.
That was the only thing I heard him complain about.
Feel bad for O.J. in that case, right? But this was a long sentence, obviously payback for the murders. So in terms of just whether justice was served in this particular case, yes, it was. But does that mean that we're comfortable with O.J. roaming the streets today? I don't think anyone's happy with that.
Yeah.
Also, the parole board, the people on the panel, seemed very nervous to me. And at one point when the oldest child of O.J. Simpson spoke to say, we've really missed him, this has been difficult for us, she got up there and before she testified, she said, I'm very nervous. And they said, we are too. What was that?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know,
it was televised.
Well, it was televised. Obviously, the, you know, parole hearing of the century, the most watched parole hearing ever. These people are not used to any publicity for, you know, the routine parole hearings that they have. So they're not used to that. I mean, at one point, one of the female officers said he was 90 years old, not 70.
And he goes, OJ, I feel like it.
Yeah. OJ, you know, of course, had a big laugh at that. But yeah, obviously they were nervous. Obviously people who weren't used to this. OJ, you know, snapped at the one guy when he said that you had a gun.
The gun charges brought against
OJ
you.
OJ was unhappy when the one female said that he had an alcohol problem. So, you know, we saw flashes of the old OJ.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the worst part of it for me was OJ saying, I've lived a life without conflict,
yep.
right?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you're forgetting the multiple times you beat different females in your life, right?
Yeah.
All of which have been documented.
Right.
I guess he forgot that part.
And not even including Nicole Brown Simpson.
His first wife,
yep.
yes. I mean,
but don't you think, Wendy and I were talking about this before the show, that O.J. Simpson has convinced himself that he didn't commit the murders, that he has not beat women in the past? Don't you think at some point on a daily basis he drills that into his head and he's forgotten all of that?
Yeah, you're talking about a cocktail of narcissism, of sociopathy,
yeah.
Of a variety of conditions that I agree with you have led to him denying that he was involved in not only murdering two people in cold blood, but in a lifetime of violence,
right.
violence against women,
right.
That has been well documented, that through a variety of factors, unfortunately, he wasn't prosecuted for, but things that would put anyone else away for many years, he got away with. So I agree with you. He's in some sort of self-denial. It's benefited him, of course. He'll go on his way and play golf and live on a very lucrative NFL pension that can't be touched.
Is it like $25,000 a month or something? I've seen those numbers.
Yeah, it's incredible.
And his property that he has
in Florida can't be touched
because the Goldmans have not been paid off.
Correct. They've we've had Kim Goldman on our show. They have recovered less than 1% of the judgment that is currently pending against O.J. Simpson. And O.J. has scoffed at that. He has made a mockery of that judgment. He said that he's going to continue, at least before he went to jail. He was all over the news saying that he's going to continue to receive revenue that Fred Goldman can touch. Listen, you're Fred Goldman. Your son was murdered. Mm-hmm. And for OJ to sit there and laugh at this judgment that a jury convicted him of killing his son, is ridiculous.
It's incredible.
It's incredible. But
all right, a quick break. Rich Lankoff is here. If you have any questions or comments, we can be reached at 312-981-7200. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
It's Bill and Wendy and Rich Lankoff, partner of Bryce Downey and Lankoff, also co-host of Legal Face Off. And you talk to F. Lee Bailey. That podcast, Legal Face Off, can be found at WGNplus.com, and it drops later today. Is that correct,
sir? That is all true.
All right.
Is OJ the luckiest or the unluckiest guy on the planet?
Very lucky. I mean, we just touched on the fact that he had a long history of criminal activity, beating his wife multiple times,
yep.
well documented,
yep.
got away with it.
Yep.
So, in addition to getting away with murder, he has a lifetime of violence that he got away with. So in that respect, unfortunately, very lucky.
I have a question for you, and someone has texted this in. Justice was not served, like it or not. OJ had no criminal record, but the court treated him like he did. The guy with the gun got probation. OJ lost 9 years of his life. That's not justice. For that crime, it doesn't appear that it's fair.
There's no question that it was far in excess of similar crimes that we've ever seen. So in that respect, it's clear that the judge in this case, I think, was intent on sentencing him to make up for what she thought was an injustice. That is clearly not the role of a judge, right? We
yeah.
all agree that a judge in one case shouldn't be imposing a higher sentence because of another case. I agree that this case was, retribution for the other one. That shouldn't be done.
How often does this happen? Now, we go back to the murders, to Nicole Brown and to Goldman. Okay. Ron Goldman. So they find OJ not guilty, but then there's never any effort at all, if he's not guilty, to find who is guilty. Zero effort.
He
at
was
all.
Supposed to do that, Bill.
Right. He said he's going to devote his life to finding the
right.
murderer. Apparently, he thought that the murderer was on the golf courses of the United
right.
States.
right.
That's where OJ spent the rest of his time.
Normally, in a case like this, don't they say, oh, well, we thought we had the guy, but it's not the guy. He's not guilty. So let's go find the guy. That didn't happen. So how often does that happen?
And is it a closed case or is it still open? Come on.
Still open, right? I mean,
is anyone still working on it? Anyone?
Yeah, I don't know.
Fred Goldman.
It's a good question. I mean, it's all a question of, this case obviously is the most famous murder case in the history of the world.
Yeah.
So you would think that the police and the district attorney would be incentivized to find the killer. On the other hand, listen, I mean, there's OJ fatigue at some point. It's terrible news to the victims that no one is currently searching for the true killer. You know, I think the reason for that is because most people think it's OJ.
Right.
I mean, the police think that. So if you're the police, if you're the district attorney, do you spend time and resources and taxpayer money on what they think is a dead end? And simply through, you know, this jury who have now come out and admit that despite the evidence, they found him innocent because of all these other reasons. Are you really going to go chase someone who doesn't exist?
Right.
No. Right. So that's the reason that there's no ongoing investigation.
Has anyone gotten a comment from Rod Blagojevich? Because Dennis Hastert has gotten out of prison. OJ's going to get out of prison. Rod's still there.
He is. We just talked about Hastert in Legal Faceoff a few minutes ago. Hastert was released early. He is still being sued civilly by the person who he was supposed to have the gag order with. He contracted, according to the allegation, with this victim to keep quiet, and the person didn't. So they are suing him for the remainder of this hush money. But yeah, Blago remains in jail while OJ and Hastert breathe free air.
Squeaky Fromm is out of jail. Lynette Squeaky Fromm, who took a shot at the president, she's walking free.
True. Yeah. You wonder why.
Well, she was in there for a long time, though, Bill.
Yeah, but you would almost think that taking a shot at a president of the United States would keep you in forever.
Would be worse than saying what Blago said and, you know, never actually took money. Listen, I've been very vocal, and on our show have talked extensively with some of Blagojevich's lawyers about the fact that was an excessive sentence. I mean, talking about, you know, OJ getting sentenced for 9 years, I mean, you know, Rod Blagojevich was sentenced for 14 years for, you know, never taking a penny, for merely talking about things. So maybe this will influence that, but I highly doubt it.
Rich, thank you.
Thank
Always
you
fun
very
to
much.
Talk to you. That's Rich Lankoff, one of the hosts of Legal Faceoff, now with Christina Martini. And if you want to hear that podcast with F. Lee Bailey, that will be available today, right?
Yes, sir.
You get that today.
I'm changing my name to Wendy Margarita.
I like the name of that. Stick around. More of us coming your way next. It's Bill and Wendy Margarita on WGN.